Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. And if you'd like to follow along with the message in your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs in the Old Testament, right after the Psalms. Proverbs chapter 14. And I'm going to mainly deal with one verse here. And it reads in verse 34, Proverbs 14:34. And it says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people," or to nations. The title of the message is "Righteousness Exalts a Nation." Righteousness exalts a nation. Proverbs 14:34. Now, the reason that I feel led to deal with this subject is because of the current moral, economic, and political climate of our nation. Many, many people, many of my friends and I myself, we grieve over the state of our nation today, and we see so much in decline, moral decline, political, economic decline, and we know that our nation, the United States of America, needs several things. It needs moral reformation. It certainly does. We think about what our Supreme Court did a few months ago in condoning and allowing homosexual marriage and things like that, trying to redefine marriage. And understand now, the highest court in this land is still below the highest court of all, which is the court of God Almighty. Man cannot redefine marriage because God is the one who defined it as a union of one man and one woman. And that's what marriage is from Genesis on. So man can do what he wants to do. You know, it's like in the time of the judges where it says that there was no king in Israel and everyone did that which is right in their own eyes. Man wants to set his own standard. And so we see all kinds of moral degradation. It's always been that way in the world. You know, people say, well, it's gotten worse today. I don't really think it's gotten worse, but I think we see it more because of television and movies and the internet and things like that. It's brought into our homes, and it's bad. But I begin to think about this, and I've seen this in certain yards in our area, you know, where people put signs up, and that's okay. And this verse is quoted. "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And it's true. But I really wonder if people really understand what that means, what this verse is saying. And therefore, I want to deal with five issues here that I will bring out concerning what this means. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Now, one thing I want you to understand at the beginning is as much as our nation is in need of moral reformation, repentance, economic, political, whatever, however you want to put it, the one thing that our nation needs more than anything else is the one thing that all nations have needed more than anything else since the fall of man, and that's the gospel. That's what our nation needs, the gospel. As much as I pray for moral reformation will not save sinners. Now, saved sinners may be brought to a moral reformation, but salvation is by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to understand that. And this verse, Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, sin is a reproach to any people," or all nations. that verse has to be taken in that context. For example, here's the first thing I want you to consider about this. It says, righteousness exalteth a nation. Number one, what is righteousness? That's the first issue that has to be settled in the minds of people if you're going to understand verses like this. Now, many times, well, as we read the Scripture, if we're going to interpret it rightly, divide the word of truth rightly, right, as Paul told Timothy, rightly dividing the word of truth, we have to consider the context. Who is writing here? Well, the human instrument that God used to write these words was King Solomon, the king of Israel. And who's he writing to? Well, he's writing to the nation Israel, over whom he was made king. He's writing to the nation Israel that were under the old covenant Mosaic law. And therefore, his subject has to do, and all through this set of Proverbs, in Proverbs 14, he's talking about the contrast between sin and righteousness, between foolishness and wisdom, all of those that in that context. And that's why this verse says it this way. Here's righteousness. Now, righteousness exalts a nation. But now, here's sin, the opposite. Sin is a reproach to any people. And here's the point that we need to understand. First off, we're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that's the fact of the matter. We fell in Adam. When Adam fell, he brought sin and death into the whole world, upon the whole human race. And as a result of the fall of Adam, we're all born in sin, born dead in trespasses and sins. What is spiritual death? That's what we are by nature, spiritually dead. You who were dead, that's what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:1, hath he quickened. And so what is spiritual death? Well, it's the absence of spiritual life. And what is spiritual life? Well, it is the spiritual desires and motives and goals and that God gives His people through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. He calls it a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. You must be born again, Christ said, or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't see the kingdom of heaven. You see, man by nature does not desire the things of God that glorify God. And that's what spiritual death is. He desires religion now. He may even desire morality. He may be a law-abiding citizen, but he doesn't desire salvation God's way, because God's way gives man no room to boast. You see, if I'm saved by the grace of God, I don't have anything to brag about except Christ and His righteousness. So the first issue that has to be settled is, what is righteousness? Now, when we speak of righteousness, we have to look at it in the context of what we are and how we speak. And men and women speak of righteousness as it compares to men. You know, you look at a person, you say, well, he's moral, he's religious, he's trying to be a good citizen, a good father, a good husband, all of that, a woman, a good wife, a good mother. And you might say, well, that's a righteous person. But when it comes to this passage, and here's King Solomon, the king of Israel, writing to Israel under the old covenant, what is righteousness? Now, righteousness has to be defined according to the standard of the very nature and character of God. So, whenever we talk about righteousness, we're not talking about how we appear to each other. We're talking about how God sees us. And that's what that old covenant was all about. The old covenant law was given to the nation Israel to show them that they were not righteous, even the best of them. Because righteousness, now mark this down in your mind, righteousness, according to the nature of God, is perfect satisfaction to the law and justice of God. That's what righteousness is. Perfect. Now, perfect. In other words, that's why we see verses in, like in the book of James, chapter 1, where he talks about to offend in one point of the law is to be guilty of all. Because you see, if you offend in one point of the law, you come short of righteousness, and you're guilty. That's why it says, the soul that sinneth must surely die. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth must die. And so when the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what it means is that none of us, by our works, by our best efforts, measure up to the standard of righteousness according to God's nature, according to God's standard. That's why you have passages of Scripture like Romans chapter 3 in verse 10, where it makes this statement. Listen to this, Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, did you hear that? There is none righteous, no, not one. Now, who is he talking about here? Is he talking about just the immoral dregs of society, the ones who are in prison, the drug addicts, the whoremongers, the pornography pushers? Is that who he's talking about? Yes, he's talking about them, but he's also talking about me by nature and you by nature. Notice he doesn't say there's none moral, no, not one. An unrighteous person can seek morality. I'll show you that in just a minute. He doesn't say there's none religious, no, not one. He doesn't even say there's none dedicated and sincere, no, not one. He says there's none righteous. And what it means is this. It means there are among men fallen in Adam, there is none to be found who are righteous in God's sight by their works, by their efforts, by their sincerity, by their decision, by whatever. None righteous. I am not righteous in myself. And he goes on in verse 11, he says, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. That's man by nature. When I say man by nature, I mean man as he is naturally born, as a dead, spiritually dead sinner. Somebody said, well, I don't agree with that, we're born spiritually dead. He said, we're born innocent. And we only become spiritually dead or become sinners when we make our first choice to sin. Let me ask you a question. Is there any human being in the history of mankind who did not sin? Now, you'd have to say no. The only sinlessly perfect person who was ever born into this world is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. And he was not born spiritually dead as you were and as I was. You see, in order to glorify God and to bring forth any fruit unto God, we must be born again by the Spirit, the new birth. And so, why is that? Why is it that no person born among fallen men has failed to sin? It's because we're born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. He says in verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. Now that's good according to God's standard now. No, not one. And so he tells us, as he goes on through there, that righteousness is perfect satisfaction to God's law and justice. Now here's the second issue. When we're considering this verse, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. All right, in the history of the world, here's the second issue. In the history of the world, among nations, has there ever been a righteous nation? In the history of the world. Well, now here's the point. If we measure righteousness by God's standard, the answer is no. There has never been a righteous nation among the nations of the world. Somebody might say, well, what about Israel? Well, Israel was not a righteous nation in themselves. I'll give you an example. Now, I don't have time in this program to go through all the Old Testament. But you don't, listen, if you're familiar with the Old Testament at all, you know that Israel failed as a nation to keep the law. Now, I'm not saying that self-righteously because I have failed to keep the law. I'm a sinner. You see, my salvation is not by my works. It's by grace based on the works of another. My salvation is not secured because I have done righteousness. My salvation is secured because Christ, my substitute, my surety, has done righteousness in His obedience unto death. But listen to the prophet Isaiah addressing the nation Israel. And he says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4, listen to this. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. He says in verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. In other words, God's judgment is not going to bring you to repentance. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. He's describing symbolically there the sinfulness of the people, not only in their actions, not only in what they don't do, but in their heart. That's man's problem. You know, sin is a heart problem. It's not just the actions that people that we do that are sinful is just an outcropping of a sinful heart. And that's what he's saying. And if you go back and read the whole chapter of Isaiah 1, you'll find that he's talking about religious people there. So even in their religion. So in the history of the world, somebody said, well, what about the good old USA? Weren't we a righteous nation? Not according to God's standard. Now listen to me very carefully here. I thank God for our nation. Because this nation, in God's providence, has been special. We've had a democracy. We've had a representative government. We've had freedom. I pray every day. I don't know what's going to happen on our political climate. I'm not very optimistic, but I know God's in control. And I pray every day, Lord, please, please preserve our freedoms so that we have the liberty that we've had all these years, that our forefathers and our military have fought for. And I thank God. I'm a patriot. But let me tell you something now. You cannot say that the USA has been a righteous nation according to God's standard of judgment. There's none righteous, no, not one. Well, here's the third issue. Where is righteousness to be found? Now think about it. He says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We're all sinners. You can talk about us individually. You can clump us together as a group, but we're all sinners. They say China has billions of people. Well, put all billions together, what have you got? You've got a bunch of sinners. United States, a bunch of sinners. And I recognize there are countries where they don't have the freedoms and the privileges that we've had in this nation, and I thank God that we've had them. But my friend, the United States, as far as being a righteous nation in God's sight, according to God's righteous nature, His holy nature, the United States is no closer to being a righteous nation than the worst of nations. And that's what Solomon was talking to these people about. Righteousness involved keeping the law, and they didn't keep it. Why was the old covenant given to begin with? Well, it had to do with where righteousness is to be found. Now think about God's standard of righteousness. And here's what the Bible teaches. That righteousness can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 23, He's called the Lord our righteousness. Now that's talking about believers there now. If I'm a believer, if I've been brought to faith in Christ by the Holy Spirit through the new birth, then I can claim that Christ is my righteousness. You see, that has to do with the great exchange of substitution and satisfaction. Christ went to the cross to die for my sins. My sins were imputed, charged, accounted to Him. My debt. You see, if you sin against God, you have a debt to His justice. You got to pay your debt. Well, we can't pay it. But Christ paid my debt for me. How do I know He paid it for me? Because I believe in Him. I trust in Him. That's the evidence. His righteousness, His merits, His value, His worth, His worthiness is imputed to me, charged to me. That's the ground of my salvation. My friend, that's the heart of the gospel. Somebody said, well, I'm saved by the blood of Christ. Well, that means He died for the sins of His people. That means righteousness is established by Him. And so where is righteousness to be found? In Christ. Acts 17:31 talks about how God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Righteousness can only be measured now by Christ. And that's where righteousness is to be found. Over in Romans chapter 9, it talks about Israel that followed after righteousness by their works, and they didn't make it. Read it in Romans chapter 9, verse 31 and on. They didn't make it because they sought it not by faith. What is it to seek righteousness by faith? To seek it in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you seek righteousness by your works, you won't make it. If you seek righteousness by your religion, you won't make it. Your decision, you won't make it. If you seek righteousness by your baptism, you won't make it. You'll fall short. Righteousness can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10 and verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law." That is the fulfillment, establishment, finishing, completion, perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So there's where righteousness is to be found. Here's the fourth issue. What's the lesson in all this? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Here's the lesson. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Man cannot make himself righteous. Man cannot wash himself clean. Man needs salvation by grace that reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The best morality will not make sinners righteous before God. The best morality, the best religion, the best sincerity, the best decision will not cleanse you from your sins. The best morality and religion and decision will not give you a new heart, will not give you spiritual life, will not change your nature. Man at his best cannot say, "I'm righteous." And then here's the fifth issue. Listen to this very carefully. You know what? There is one righteous nation. There is. What is that righteous nation? Well, look at Galatians chapter 6 with me. And I want you to read this. Now, I could show you a lot of scripture on this. But there is one righteous nation. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, here's what the Apostle Paul wrote. "But God forbid that I should glory, save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, righteousness comes by the cross, not by your works or my works, not even by your decision or my decision. It comes by the cross, the death of Christ. "Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." In other words, to be in Christ is to be separate from the world. Verse 15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature or a new creation." Verse 16 says, "And as many as walk according to this rule," what rule? "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be on them." That is, they have peace with God because it's based on God's grace through the righteousness of Christ. "And mercy," God's compassion and loving kindness is upon them, "and upon the Israel of God." There's the one righteous nation, the Israel of God. Now, who is the Israel of God? Well, the Israel of God is spiritual Israel. And I know people don't like that today. They call it replacement theology. It is not replacement theology. the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He redeemed by His blood, which are made righteous in Him, based on His righteousness imputed to them, and who are born again and called out by the Holy Spirit. That's what the church means. It's called out of the world by the gospel to believe in Christ and rest in Him and live according to His word. The true church did not replace Israel. The true church is the fulfillment of what Israel, the nation, typified, and they're called the Israel of God. That is the church. We are spiritual Israel. The Apostle Paul wrote about that in Romans 2 when he talked about he is not a Jew which is one outwardly in circumcision, that in the flesh, but he's a Jew which is one inwardly in circumcision is that of the heart. That's the new birth. You see, a righteous nation has a righteous king. And who is that righteous king? It's the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. A righteous nation has a righteous people. Well, how can anybody who's a sinner, like I am, claim to be righteous? Only in one way. That is based on the imputed righteousness of Christ. He is the Lord my righteousness. I stand before God, washed in the blood of Christ, and clothed in His righteousness, imputed to me. And I believe in Him and rest in Him and follow Him. Now, everybody who has brought to that faith by the Holy Spirit are the citizens of a righteous nation, not righteous in ourselves, but righteous in Christ. And so when you read passages of Scripture like this in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. What's he talking about? He's talking about the gospel. Back in the Old Covenant, the law was laid down, and they were commanded to keep the law, but they failed. Do you think you would have done any better? Do I think I would have done any better? The answer is no. We need righteousness in Christ by the grace of God. Hope this message has helped you, and join us again next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.